Well, greetings again, brethren and friends. I hope this finds everyone doing well. And just as a little bit of an update at the beginning of this message, I just wanted to mention that I've had quite a few requests for the Passover CD, and it's just amazing how many people out there are really wanting that. So I've been very busy copying those and other CDs as well, other messages of Mr. Armstrong and the text messages. I've had quite a few inquiries about the Passover CD, and just wanted to mention that. And I actually put today, March 3rd, I put a little paragraph on that Passover surprise page at the bottom, and notice that in about 2 weeks I'm going to be taking that page off with that CD offer. And the reason being is that we'll be running out of time to get many of those last minute requests in to people in time for the Passover. But what I am going to do, although I'll be taking that page off, and I'll still honor requests if anyone wants the CD and you may not get it in time, but what I am going to do is put another page up there, and it's going to be called the Passover page, and I'll have three main things on there. The first thing being a sermon by Mr. Armstrong called Passover Examination, and we just heard it today for our church service. It was very powerful. A very, very powerful message to help focus on your examination of whether you're in the faith between now and the Passover. And the second thing I'll have on there, I'll have that sermon, that Passover examination. The second thing I'll have, I will have the Passover service on there by Mr. Armstrong. I'm in the process of converting it into files now that can be uploaded to the website here, and then have it in five different increments, and you can either download it and save it to your hard drive or your desktop or whatever in a folder, or you can play it from the website. I would advise downloading and saving it so you can play it whether your computer is online or not during the Passover. And then so that we'll have that Passover service by Mr. Armstrong available. And thirdly, I'll also have a text link you can click on to download instructions for keeping the Passover at home for any of those of you that are alone or at home, and for some reason or the other are not going to be listening to Mr. Armstrong's service. You can follow these instructions. It's the same ones that were given out by the Worldwide Church years ago for those who couldn't make it to the Passover for one reason or the other. And so it'll be text instructions on keeping the Passover at home. And they're a good general guideline anyway to go along, even if you are listening to the Passover service of Mr. Armstrong. So I will have those three things just to provide as a service for those who are interested in it. And that'll be about the middle of March. I'll be putting that up and taking the other page down, the Passover surprise page. So that kind of leads me into this message today, because it does have to do with preparing for the Passover. And it actually goes on beyond that, and a lot deeper meaning in that, but it does tie in with the Passover to some degree, and what it means to examine yourself and what it means to wake up. So what the title of this message is, if you need a title, is A Call to Awaken. A Call to Awaken. So to begin with, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll begin in verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Eternal that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So that's the commandment to keep the Passover. Christ was instituting that Passover. But notice what it goes on to say here. Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Eternal." So that's what we don't want to do, is take of that unworthily. We don't want to be taking the Passover in an unworthy manner. In the message Mr. Armstrong gave today, that Passover examination, I would strongly urge everyone to this message is addressed to all of God's people everywhere, wherever you are, whoever you are, not just those in fellowship with us, but everyone. I would strongly recommend listening to that because it really puts it in a clear focus, the importance of it. Today, many of God's people are going to be taking the Passover in an unworthy manner, brethren. And if you've listened to the messages on this website, you'll see what I mean by that, why that is. Notice verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So, but verse 28 says, see, and this is a command or a strong admonishment. It says, let a man examine himself. And that way we can eat and drink of that worthily if we examine ourselves. So that's a little bit of what this message is going to tie into, because we have to understand what it means to take it worthily. Many of God's people have been taking of the Passover unworthily for many years, since the death of Mr. Armstrong, and they don't even realize it, brethren. And this is true. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, and we'll begin to see what it is we have to focus on during this examination. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. What faith? See? The faith of Jesus Christ. His faith, his belief system, his doctrines, his truth, see? That's what we need to examine ourselves for, to see if we're in the faith of Jesus Christ. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. So today, this is the New King James. This is reprobate in the Old King James, but it means the same thing, disqualified. Today, many of God's people are disqualified or are in the process of disqualifying themselves. Why? Because they've not examined to see whether they're in the faith or in the belief system of Jesus Christ himself. See? So that's what we need to focus on. So this message, a call to awaken, has got to do with that, to find out if we're in the faith. And as we'll see, many of God's people are not in that faith, not in that faith and belief system of Jesus Christ. They think they are, but they're not. See, many, according to God's word, most of God's people today are in a spiritual stupor or sleep. And many don't know that they're asleep. But the problem with that is, they're still under judgment, see? When we were called and baptized into God's truth, judgment began on us, not later. The rest of the world comes later. So if we understand the fear of God and understand what it means to be under judgment right now, not later, then we should realize that we have no excuse. And God's word says that. But we're under judgment now. We're in peril, as Paul says, every hour of perishing or of losing it all. So we have to understand that being under judgment now entails a great responsibility for each of us as individuals. Now, many people of God right now, in all these different groups, someone mentioned to me here recently, I was discussing with them, and to the effect, well, what about all those innocent ones who don't know any better? Well, brethren, we do. We should know better. We're without excuse. When you counted the cost before baptism, you did just that, supposedly count the cost. Unless you just were never converted to begin with and never had God's Spirit to begin with. But many of God's people who counted that cost before baptism went into that baptism realizing that that was the beginning of their judgment. See, it was the beginning of their judgment day from that point on. So we are without excuse. So as a result, many of God's people are going to be caught in a captivity very soon, caught in the Great Tribulation. And to some, it may seem like an unfair God to do that type of thing. But he will do it, as the Scripture shows, brethren, in love, because it's correction. And he corrects in love, as it says there in Psalms. That God chastens every son that he loves. This correction, as horrendous as it may seem, is going to take place. There's a correction going on right now for some that are waking up and heeding and repenting. It all has to do with repentance. And I point back to that sermon from Mr. Armstrong on the Passover examination, because he goes into repentance and what it means. It means to turn the other way. See, Christ gave us that warning, and here in the end time, he's telling the Laodiceans in Revelation 3 to wake up and repent, and we'll touch on that in a little while, but you return back to something that you had before. You go back to that which we had in the Philadelphia era. See, that Philadelphia standard or way of life, that truth, that foundation. But let's look at something here in the Song of Solomon. I'll point a few things out here, hopefully. But the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and I think we'll begin to see some things here. I've heard many years now from other people and some ministers that indicated over the years and in the past that this seems to picture Jesus Christ in perhaps the place of safety, or Jesus Christ during the tribulation and speaking to his bride. But we'll go on here and see, and maybe we can pick up a little more. In chapter 5 of Song of Solomon, it says in verse 1, I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. Well, let's pause right there and look at that verse, because if you're looking at that in a physical sense, it looks kind of perverted or sounds perverted, calling your sister your spouse. But if we look at this spiritually, brethren, as we do through many scriptures today, if we look at it spiritually, well, Christ can call his sister his spouse, because if you are son or daughter of God, then Christ calls us his brethren. See? So if you're a lady, for example, in God's church and you're baptized, then you can literally be called sister and spouse, because you're going to be the spouse of Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, as a whole, the church, all of us, all inclusive, if we are baptized into that family, the church is depicted in the Bible as a woman. See? So, and we're still the brethren of Jesus Christ. So yes, he can call us his brethren or his sister and his spouse. So let's go on and read with that spiritual understanding through this. It says, I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. And then in the New King James here, he has a parenthetical statement to his friends. And it says, eat, O friends, drink. Yes, drink deeply, O beloved ones. Okay, we'll pause there, because this sounds like the wedding supper, doesn't it, brethren? Or the invitation to the wedding supper. It's a time of rejoicing and myrrh. And this is talking to someone that he's calling his spouse there in verse 1. So it sounds like this could be a wedding supper. So as we pause here, hold your place and turn to Matthew chapter 22. It's something I covered here recently, but I want to bring it out again, a part of it. But if you look at Matthew 22, and basically it's covered verses 2 through 14, and I covered this recently in a message, but begins in verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. So you go through and read this whole thing, and just kind of keep a marker there, because we'll come back to it off and on. And as I mentioned before in another message, there's a lot here for us to consider as it ties into preparing for the Passover and examining ourselves to see if we are in the faith, see? But back here in Song of Solomon, we'll go on. And I had put a note there beside that into verse 1, eat, O friends, drink, yes, drink deeply, O beloved ones. See, that's that marriage supper that's going to take place. And we'll read on. Verse 2, the Shulamite says, I sleep. Okay, pause right there. So here's a condition that we see today with God's people. The spouse, see, the sister or fiance of Jesus Christ is in a sleeping state. I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love. Okay, pause right there, and notice what it says in Revelation 3:20. Because here we are, brethren, at the end of the age, and possibly very close to the end of the Laodicean era. And here, notice what this is, where part of what God's work is today. Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I, Jesus Christ is saying this, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. So here's that knocking and opening there again, Revelation 3:20. Back here in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2, again it says, he knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love. See, Christ is saying, open that door, my dove, my perfect one, for my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. But now notice verse 3, because here's where some excuses begin to take place, which tie back into Matthew 22, and we'll touch on that. Verse 3, it says, I have taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I have washed my feet. How can I defile them? See, I don't want to get up and get my feet dirty. Excuses, see. Verse 4, my beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. See, he was almost going to open that door for her, but she had to do it. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handle of the lock. So, but see, she delayed there in verse 3. I have taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I've washed my feet. How can I defile them? So hold your finger there and turn back again to Matthew 22 again, where I mentioned earlier, and just notice verse 5, because this is about the invitation going to the wedding. See, verse 5 says, of Matthew 22, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm and another to his business. So they basically turned their backs on the invitation, as I mentioned before in another message. So we could see that happening today with many of God's people, because Christ is saying, go out to the highways and hedges and bid them to come in. See, they weren't even sent an invitation. He just says, go fill these empty places at my wedding. Now notice verse 6 here in chapter 5 of the Song of Solomon. Verse 6, I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. Oh my, brother. Imagine that, what that means. What does that mean? My heart leaped up when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. See, it was too late. Now notice, hold your finger right there. Let's notice something in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, I'm trying to find it here. Notice Matthew chapter 25, and as we know, this is as Mr. Armstrong taught, this is showing the end time Laodicean church. Like it says in verse 5, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So it has to do with the wedding. But notice what it says. Drop down to verse 10 for sake of time. It says, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. See, and then verse 11, afterwards the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. I do not know you. He says this to part of his own church. So here, back in Song of Solomon, we see a situation where the spouse or the fiancé decided to go ahead and open the door, but it was too late. So we'll go on to verse 7, and it says, the watchmen who went about the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took my veil away from me. See, that she's going to be exposed when it's too late. And let's see, let's drop down to chapter 6 briefly. I'd like to point out verse 1 and 2 there in chapter 6 of Song of Solomon, because it has some interesting questions for us today. What's going to happen to many of us if we don't wake up, brethren? Where has your beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where has your beloved turned aside that we may seek him with you? Excuse me, verse 2 says, my beloved has gone to his garden, to the beds of spices, to do what? To feed his flock. See, he's going to be there with his flock when that door of that kingdom is shut. Feed his flock in the gardens and to gather lilies. So it shows that there's going to be a time when it's too late and the door's going to be shut to the kingdom, just like Mr. Armstrong taught. It's also going to apply to some degree to when it's time for God's people to go to a place of safety. Some will go, and some will have to go in the tribulation. And I hope and pray that all of God's people will make it to that place of safety. See, wherever we're at. And that's what the purpose of this work is today, is to help God's people to wake up. It's a call to awaken, brethren, and repent. Repent of what? Repent of this spiritual drunken stupor, that sleep that we're in. All of God's people. Whether they think they know better or not, God's people as a whole are asleep. And we are all individually responsible for our own actions or lack of actions. See, when we took that bad baptism vow, that oath to God Almighty to live his way, and that belief system of Jesus Christ, but today many have departed from that belief system. So as we approach the Passover and are to examine ourselves, as it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 that I mentioned, examine to see if you're in the faith. See? What faith? The faith of Jesus Christ. his very faith and belief system that he established here on his earth through his apostles. See? Let's turn to Isaiah now. Isaiah chapter 29. And notice something. Isaiah chapter 29, in beginning in verse 9. Pause and wonder. See? That's what God is telling us today, friends and brethren. Pause and wonder. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. See, this is the state of God's people today. They're spiritually drunk, see? Not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink, see? They stagger around in the false truths from one group to another, looking, searching for the truth, and don't even know how to recognize it anymore for the most part. Some do. Some are waking up. But here's why they can't see it, see? Look at verse 10. For the Eternal, see, God has done this. The Eternal has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep. It has closed your eyes, namely, see, probably the words primarily, but not necessarily all, just the prophets, but primarily or namely the prophets. And he has covered your heads, namely the seers. Verse 11, the whole vision, see, this whole vision that God has given us through the end time and this restored truth that he gave through Mr. Armstrong in the end time, this whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is literate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I cannot, for it's sealed. And the book is delivered to one who is illiterate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I'm illiterate. Verse 13 says, therefore, the Eternal says, inasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips. And we see much of that today. We see much of that out there. They say that they're honoring God and following God's way and his truth. But, God says, they have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men. The verse 14 says, therefore, behold, I will again, see, again means a second time at least. I mean, it's been done once, so he's going to do it again. I will do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish. See, all these self-proclaimed scholars out there. I ran across the website this week. I found an article written about me already from this self-proclaimed scholar. And that's what he does on his little website. He's a self-proclaimed writer and a minister for one of these groups out there. I think it's maybe the second or third largest of the splinter groups. And he was taking things out of context that I said and trying to twist it around. But his whole purpose was to prove that the gospel should still be preached to the world because Mr. Armstrong didn't finish it, see? But anyway, it says there, verse 14, therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. And that's what's happened today. It primarily begins with the ministry of Jesus Christ, who's gone astray, brethren. I've covered that many times. But let's turn forward to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52, beginning in verse 1, says, awake, awake. So God's given somebody a command here to awake. Well, that means they must be asleep, see? And who is it? Put on your strength, O Zion. See, that's God's people, God's church. Awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Those beautiful garments, see, that's indicative of righteousness. See, beautiful garments or white raiment is indicative of righteousness. But God's people are not righteous today as a whole. They're not doing, righteousness means right doing, and they're not doing right today. O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. See, this is a time of the tribulation. God's people are caught in a captivity, and he's about to bring them out, those that repent. But it goes on to say, shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loosen yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. So there's a time when God's going to bring his people out of captivity, those that repent. And for those that are God's people, who know better, who are under judgment, that release from captivity will come through martyrdom. See, for the national Israelites, they will be brought through it. A remnant, some will be brought through it. Let's notice Isaiah chapter 56 now. And beginning in verse 10, you'll begin to see where some of this blindness points to and where God puts the responsibility. Beginning in verse 9, it says, "All you beasts of the field come to devour." Now this is referring, as we'll see, to the ministry. And I've covered many other scriptures that show that God's ministry is devouring the sheep today. See, the slaughtering and devouring them spiritually. Verse 10, it says, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, see, state of sleepiness there. Sleeping, lying down to slumber, loving to slumber. So here's the state that we find God's people in today, including the ministry. Verse 11 says, yes, they're all greedy dogs. See, that's part of the problem, which never have enough. And they are what? Shepherds, see? They're shepherds, ministry, who cannot understand. Why can't they understand? Look at the last verse, because they all look to their own way, see? They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain, from his own territory, or their own group, or splinter group, so to speak. So that's why they can't understand, brethren, because they look to their own way instead of that faith of Jesus Christ, that belief system, you know, doctrines and truth that Christ gave us through his apostles, including the end time apostle, Mr. Armstrong. Let's notice Zechariah now. Want to point something out here in Zechariah, which I've covered before, but it ties into this. Zechariah chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of sleep." So we'll pause there, because we've covered this before, that what the context of this has to do with the foundation that was laid to Zerubbabel, that truth. It also shows how to identify the two witnesses when they come on the scene. And this couldn't be done unless chapter 4, verse 1 took place. It's because that man who's asleep has to be wakened up first. And then this understanding will come about how to identify the two witnesses. And it's very clear. It's right there in black and white. And for sake of time, you can go back and listen to that recorded message on the two witnesses or read that article, and it makes it very clear how to identify the two witnesses when they come on the scene. But many of God's people today will fail to recognize that voice when it comes because they have not held fast to that faith of Jesus Christ, that belief system, those truths and doctrines. Let's turn back a couple of chapters to the book of Joel, please. Joel. And of course, as we know, this is a warning of the impending day of the Lord, which is to come, and many things that happen even before then, because it says there that, and this is obviously the tribulation time, because in chapter 2, in verse 30, it's 31, you'll see at verse 30, beginning in verse 30, it says, "I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." Verse 31, "The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood." When? Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So as bad as the day of the Lord is going to get with all of those plagues, it's going to get pretty bad before then. But notice chapter 1 of Joel, begin in verse 5, and here's a command for God's people today. If we'll simply listen to this, brethren, we'll be saved of a lot of pain in the future. Verse 5 says, "Awake, you drunkards, and weep." And see, if we look through this spiritually, this is not talking about physical drunkards or physical wine. It's talking about spiritual wine. All these false truths being taught today have misled God's people. "Awake, you drunkards, and weep and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth." Notice verse 6. "For a nation has come up against my land." This is what's about to happen, brethren. "Strong and without number, his teeth are like the teeth of a lion. He has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine, ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white." Verse 8, "Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth." So here's something for us to consider, see. You go back and look at that message, or even the book of Lamentations, and who is that virgin, see, that The church is depicted as a virgin, but when it's made ready, when that bride has made herself ready, finally, she's going to be depicted as a virgin, see? But right now she's in a state where God's saying she's going to have to do some lamenting for that husband of her youth. She's departed from that husband of her youth, Jesus Christ. That's the one who we are espoused or engaged to, see? Is Jesus Christ. He'll be our husband. But many people are not lamenting for that husband of their youth, see? They've gone off to another god, a Baal, a false god, or a Jesus Christ of their own imagination. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. Wow, see, that's beginning to identify even more who this group is. It's God's people. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined, the new wine is dried up, the oil fails. So this is a state that God's people are in today and are about to be caught in the most horrible time in the history of mankind if we don't wake up and repent. See? Let's go forward to Matthew 25 again for just a moment, just to touch on something. Matthew chapter 25, beginning of verse 5, it says, "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all," A-L-L, "slumbered and slept." See, that's the state that God's people are in today, brethren. And it says all. That does not mean most or some or one or two. It means exactly what it says, Jesus Christ's words. If you have a red-letter Bible, it's in red letters. "They all slumbered and slept. But notice verse 6, "And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.'" So here is the time when God brings up his watchmen for a warning work. And that's been covered many times through this website in articles and audio messages. There's a time just before Christ returns that he's going to raise up some watchmen to do a warning work. "Behold, the bridegroom is on his way. Wake up." See, wake up. Then verse 7, it says, "All those virgins arose." See, we reach the point where it becomes too late, the tribulation begins, they all begin to say, "Oh, wow, it's time to trim our lamps." But verse 8 says, "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.'" And notice verse 10 again, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came." See, happened quickly. Once it began, it happened very fast. "And those who were ready," see, who is it? Those who were ready. Who's going to be ready, brethren? Who is going to be ready for that time? "Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." And then it goes on to say afterwards what happens there. And Christ says in verse 12, "To many of those people, I do not know you." And these are God's own people that he's addressing. Frightening time, frightening situation to be in at that point, brethren. Let's turn back to Matthew 13 while we're in this book. And we'll look at something that's kind of like it's really an overview of the end time, more or less. It's a parable of Jesus Christ. But if you look at it spiritually, what it's saying, it's an overview of what's happened to God's people here in the end time and how we are a mixed mash of people. We're scattered all over right now. And many of God's people hopefully will wake up. There's many I know in these different groups out there that don't agree with what's going on in their groups or churches, and they don't know where else to go. Well, the warning is going out. See, God always warns his people out of love before he does something, before he corrects. And so he will warn his people, and there is a warning going out. But notice verse 24 of Matthew 13, another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field." Notice verse 25, "But while men slept," see, now here's the whole key of why the rest of this parable takes place. But while men slept, see, when that happens, here's what follows. "His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Verse 26, "But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' And he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them.' Let both grow together until the harvest. See, here's the time that we're approaching, brethren. There's a harvest coming very soon. Because Mr. Armstrong made it very clear that God's people are being groomed and trained as teachers, and we're being trained as first fruits of the harvest of God's kingdom, see? So let's notice again, verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest, and at that time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. See, the wheat, that's the good one. So hopefully that's what we will be, brethren, is the wheat. And we'll go into the barn, in other words, the place of safety, and on into the kingdom. See, of God's kingdom. This whole parable, as it says there in verse 24, is about the kingdom of God. See, but that's, it all began in verse 25, while men slept. See, while men slept. Let's turn to Mark chapter 13 now. We're in Matthew 13 now, but let's turn to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Okay, Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 35. It says, watch, this is Christ, says, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Notice verse 36. It says, lest, coming suddenly, he find you doing what? Sleeping. See, that's the state we don't want to be in, brethren. When things begin to happen, they're going to happen very fast. And we don't want to be caught in a state of sleeping. So the warning today, again, is to wake up, brethren. Wake up. Repent. Get back to that foundation, that truth, and doctrine that Jesus Christ revealed to us through his end time apostle. Notice Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, and beginning in verse 10, it says, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. In verse 11, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So how much nearer is it today, brethren, than when Paul wrote this? See, it's very near. And we have the history now behind us of the Philadelphia era and probably most of the Laodicean era, 21 years of it anyway, behind us, to see that we should know and discern through God's truth and through his word and through God's Holy Spirit that it's not going to keep going on. It's not going to last forever. And things are going to change suddenly one day. Soon. So it says in verse 11, it's an admonishment. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. So notice now 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 33, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So today, we have many of God's people doing just that, keeping evil company, and it's corrupting good habits, or right doing, see, another way of saying right doing, which is righteousness. So if we keep evil company by being where we're not supposed to be, or fellowshipping with those who we're not supposed to fellowship with, then it's going to corrupt the righteousness. So verse 34 here says, awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. That's right doing. See? And do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Notice, let's go to 1 Thessalonians now. First Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, it says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do. See, today, many of God's people are sleeping, brethren. And the admonition here is, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So here is our armament, brethren. You want to know what we need to go forward? These three things right here in verse 8. Faith, love, and hope. That is our armament to go forward. That's our ammunition. So we have faith in Jesus Christ and that belief system. The love of God. See, the very love of God himself, the agape. And then hope. We have that hope of salvation. If we continue on in faith, and we will have that hope that we will be saved if we just remain steadfast and hold fast to these all things that Jesus Christ revealed to us. And we will have salvation because Christ gives us that promise in Revelation 3:11. I read it a million times. Hold fast to what you have so that no man, he says here in verse 11, I'm skipped over there to Revelation 3. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have that no one may take your crown. See, that's salvation. That's what it's saying here. In verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 6 there, it starts off saying, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So we can attain this goal here in verse 8. See, that's salvation. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So faith, love, and hope is our ammunition. See? Finally, let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and we'll look at something about this time period we're in right now. Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, and here we are, brethren, in this Laodicean era. Verse 14 says there, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, plural, see, write. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So this is Jesus Christ here. Verse 15, he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I would wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, I have become wealthy and have need of nothing. See, that's the condition of God's people today. Need of nothing. I know it all. I've got it all. See, I'm holding fast, but they're really not. They've lost that vision. See, they lost that whole vision because God says he put us spirit of deep sleep upon them, as I read to you earlier out of Isaiah. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And that word naked is just another way of wording a word for sin. Mister, I was just listening to a World Tomorrow broadcast the other day, and Mr. Armstrong was covering this, and he said that nakedness just simply means sin. See? Verse 18, Christ says, I counsel you. See, he's counseling us today, brethren. Consider these things. You know, how many times you look up the word consider in a concordance, and you see how many times God says, consider this, consider that, consider your ways. I counsel you, Christ is saying, so we need to consider this, brethren, to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. See, the true richness. In white garments, see, it represents righteousness, that you may be clothed, the shame of your nakedness, see, the sin, may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve. Why? That you may see. See, this is a call from Jesus Christ, brethren, to every one of us today to wake up. Wake up out of this spiritual, drunken stupor that we're in, the majority of God's people, to wake up. Notice verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, see, or correct, or discipline. So here we are in a time of correction. We are in a time of correction. We have a choice, as I've said before, to be corrected now or disciplined now, or we can go through the tribulation and have it happen then. So Christ concludes this verse by saying, therefore be zealous and do what? Repent. See, today many of God's people don't realize that there is a need to repent and to continually repent. And as a whole, God's church needs to repent and turn back to something. See? That's what he's telling us here. Go on and read verse 20, because Christ is saying to repent of something. It means turn the other way. Go the other direction from what you're going. Verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So here we are with God's work today. Jesus Christ is standing at the door knocking for anyone who will, anyone, see? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So Christ wants to feed us. Christ wants to literally feed us, brethren. if we will respond to that knock and get back to that foundation that he so plainly laid through the hands of Zerubbabel. And here's our goal, verse 21, to him who overcomes. See, it's to the overcomer from each era that Christ is giving that promise of eternal life. To him who overcomes, to see the Laodicean era has that same opportunity that all the other church eras had, to overcome and to sit with Christ, see, sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father at his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So there are many churches today in Laodicea, and hopefully there is a voice of a warning going out, and hopefully God's people will begin to respond more and more. They're beginning to respond now. It's a slow but steady increasing pace, and I don't know how much more it's going to increase, but it's exciting to hear the responses that I do, and the people that are coming into fellowship with us. It's very exciting. So the warning today, brethren, and as we approach the Passover, we need to consider what it says there in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Let's just turn there, and we'll conclude right there. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, which I already covered this earlier, but it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. What a profound statement and admonition that is, see? To all of us, brethren, whoever you are and wherever you're at today, whether you're home alone or in these splinter groups and have just casually come across this website, God says through his word, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, see? Are you in the faith of Jesus Christ, that belief system? So that's our admonition for today. So I hope as we approach the Passover and begin to think along the lines of preparing ourselves spiritually, emotionally, mentally for it, that we truly can examine ourselves and take of God's Passover worthily and in a worthy manner. That's what we want to do. That concludes this message. Until next time, I love you all. Take care.